right. Well, happy Mother's Day once again. It's great to be with you today. If I happen to miss you earlier, my name is Wayne. I'm the pastor here at DCC, and we are excited to celebrate you as moms today. And each year on Mother's Day and Father's Day, if I can, depending on where we're at in our weekly conversations, I love to engage our homes and our families. But honestly, today's conversation, as we engage this together, is really just for all of us and leading us to foundations that lead us to joy. And because we need these words. And whether you're new to faith or pursuing God, I mean, we hope this is a safe place for you to come and ask your questions of God. And Downtown Community exists to help people find their way back to God. And so wherever you're at in this faith journey, we believe that God has these incredible words of life for us. And so today I want to lead us to words of life and encourage you, if you're parents here today, but for all of us, we are a child of God. And we talk about our church here as being a church family and that we are together with one another. But as we live our lives together, it's not always easy. And so I'm a parent. I have three kids. The last time I checked, and you know, I remember with our first, I talk about this a lot. We had no clue what we were doing in the beginning. We thought we did, going into it, and we had a lot of pride, and we had no clue, and so that shocked us. But you know, the pinnacle of that, I remember, we had been on a trip together with our daughter, and I think she was like 2-3 months old. And we just kind of pushing the boundaries. I remember going to Target when we got back and just doing stuff as if the baby could just do whatever we wanted to do. And children will let you know, if you're a parent, you understand this, or if you've helped out your niece or nephew, they'll let you know when you're off. And I just remember being in a bathroom because it had been hours since our daughter had been crying. And we were trying to think of everything possible that could be wrong. And the thing that was wrong was us. And she's letting us know. And we eventually were in a bathroom after we doing all this research and talking to others with a hair dryer going in the background, like way off the side because it's white noise, and just trying to soothe her. I'm not kidding. And that was the last straw. We were at our wits, and eventually it actually worked. It actually worked, and she fell asleep. And so we made it through that, and then we decided at that point in time we need a lot more help. And we got it, but we found a way, and so much of parenting in the beginning especially can be like, it feels like survival, but it's so worth it. There's so much joy that comes from leaning in and investing in our children, but as they get older, those challenges that seem so hard actually are, you look back on that and say, well, that was the easy part sometimes, because we need help to lead their hearts. And we know what to do to, like, push them with education, and we know what to do even with our own selves and how to progress in, like, a job, and we can get training for that and all those different things. But there's always something that gets in the way, and it's ourselves, our hearts. And if you don't believe me, just look at, like, any headline from week to week. And people being canceled, people getting disqualified, and the shocking headlines, it usually doesn't have to do with their abilities in their career or whatever it was. It's usually themselves, their moral character, and all that goes with it that derails that. And so it's amazing when you look at God's instructions to us, when you look at His words to us, they are usually around your heart. So as your pastor, I'm always wanting to lead you there. And we absolutely engage in very practical things. Scripture is full of that. It's very helpful. But today I want to focus on our homes. And if you're not a parent today, this applies to you personally. And if you pursue this, it lays a foundation for greater joy and happiness and a deeper foundation with that. So how do we find that for our homes? You know, maybe you've prayed this prayer, God, please bless my family, or please bless our home. Well, I want to help you to lead in that. And there's this amazing teaching from Christ, from Jesus, And we find this in Matthew 5, and it's known as the Beatitudes. Maybe you've heard of the Beatitudes just because of that word. And he just goes through this phrases where it says, blessed are those who, and really what it means is very happy are those who do these things. But they're almost opposite of what we would typically say is what's going to make me happy. But it's an amazing conversation, and you should read that sometime, Matthew 5. But today I want to focus on this one where it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. It's this great conversation of what we long for, what we hunger for. And so, like, as you walk around downtown, like, I mean, I do this. I think you do this as well. But we're like, man, I love eating. Like, what's your favorite restaurant? I love asking that because we hunger for taqueria. With delivery, it's like, what is your favorite go-to? You know, I hunger and thirst for Porta or Raza. You know, Newark Ave, we've got great places, whether it's Thai or Indian, like, you know, like there's just so many great options or burgers. I'm really sorry. I'm talking about food and it's already 11:30. So, we get out on time here, just so you know. Hopefully get you in line on Mother's Day brunch stuff if you're doing that. But anyway, and Christ is, he loved to use this analogy. He's like, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for. So we get like what we long for. You think about it. You know what it's like. And so he says, blessed, happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then it says this phrase, which you and I are ultimately seeking, is for they will be filled. Now, I don't know if you have any traditions around this holiday weekend. My family and I, being a pastor, a lot of times I'm very busy on Sundays, and our whole family, we're all in many times. And so we'll celebrate Mother's Day on Saturday. So we did that yesterday. We went out for brunch, and it was also great weather, which is helpful. But one of our children said yesterday, he's like, oh, my belly is just so full. I'm so happy. Like that feeling of being filled. Is we love that, right? And so this is the picture of that Christ is talking about when we seek righteousness. Well, what is that? It is the pursuit of who the goodness of God. Righteousness is the truth of who he is and how he's made us to live. And when we pursue him and his righteousness, his goodness, we are filled. And he fills us. And the invitation of pursuing God is not an invitation to try to keep the rules or else. No, it's an invitation to this relationship where you enjoy God. And he knew that we could not keep all those rules and all those things that make us right. So that's why Christ came. It's why we celebrate him, because he came to take the punishment that was needed, that we deserved on our behalf, so that we could go to God and be made right with him and be in relationship with him and removing those barriers so that we can be with him and be filled. And this is the vision. And so then we look to scriptures and we see that there are words of life that are leading you and I to this. And man, as our culture, our world need this right now. And if I look at our city and look at our culture and how we are struggling, and it's not easy, and there's more uncertainty than ever, and so on and so forth, we need these words of life to be part of our homes, all of our homes. And so we have these things in Scripture we call like the fruits of the Spirit, keeping with the food analogy, is of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And then those are like the list that we see in one specific scripture, but there's also more areas where there's things that God says, if we pursue these things of righteousness, we'll be filled. And if you can imagine, if our world was filled more and more with those who live those values and principles out, how much different would it be? So, in your home, in your apartment, in your room, whatever that is for you, What do you hunger for? In your family. Now, this is a good question for me, too, so just so you know. You know, if you ask your kids their time and their energy, what do you long for? It's usually comfort or fun, popularity, winning. Like all these things in and of themselves aren't necessarily bad. But it's a question of what's best. And what is your appetite? What is the appetite of your heart? And some of the best ways to think about that is this, like, what are the outcomes of your life? What is the evidence? Are you anxious? Are you worried? Are you mad? Are you angry? Like, what are the outcomes of your heart? And so if you see these outcomes that you don't like or you're struggling, things aren't going well, which happens, then it's a word to us to say, how can I hunger and thirst for righteousness? What does that look like? Well, let's start with first what it doesn't look like. So what doesn't work? So we're speaking of our engagement of God. What doesn't work? Well, one is a legalistic Christianity. Legalistic Christianity. What is that? Well, it's this view that it's only about the rules. Like, we have to keep this, so don't do this. This is what we typically think of religion. And so if you're here today and that's been kind of your upbringing, I understand this. Like, it's sometimes it's easy just to have this in place, but we just say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You know, it's like, well, what can I do? And then if you don't, you know, if I don't do that, then, and like, what happens? And we're worried about, you know, the lightning or whatever it may be that's supposed to be coming. And this is our view of God. And so this might work for you if you really like to keep the rules. But it's interesting because eventually, for the person who loves to keep the rules, eventually you know that you can't. And so you are under a burden, or you feel guilty all the time, and you're under shame. Or you just blow it all the time. You're like, man, I can't do this. And so you're like, I'm out. I just don't want to think about it. And so we rebel. And so rules without any kind of relationship leads to ultimately rebellion and pushing away. And so it's so important to know and begin to understand this God of relationship. And the things that he said were things that will lead us to life. But he knows that our hearts, we're not able to be perfect. We have a sinful nature. And so it's only through him that we can really be made right. And so you're invited into this relationship with God, these words of life. And so the legalistic Christianity just focuses on those rules. And when you put rules ahead of people, it makes it overbearing. You can't keep it up. So you've either got to fake it and be prideful or rebel or know you can't do it and be just full of shame. And so we want to walk away from a rule-first-oriented thing. We need to be in relationship. Well, then it's easy then to just kind of be like, whatever. You're like, I believe in God, okay. So then what also doesn't work is this, and this is a weird word to say, but a lukewarm Christianity. And Jesus is the one who referred to this. People, you know, he was in the conversation in Scripture, and Jesus says, I would rather you be hot or cold versus just this lukewarm in the middle. And we think about this thing of like being, you know, all in with Christianity, like legalism. And so it's really just about understanding this being in relationship with God. But Christ is like, yeah, it makes me sick when you pretend. Like it's not really real. And so many of us would say, like, I believe in God. But our lives actually lived out are kind of lived out as if God didn't exist. And that might work for a while if things are going well. But do you find yourself struggling and in anxiety and all these different things, like the struggles of the world, does it overwhelm you? Well, let's change that conversation and engage that relationship with God. And so it's one thing to say, I believe in a God that exists, but it's another to actually be in relationship with him, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. So that is the invitation to with God. And so in your own home, in your family, let's then turn the conversation to what does work? What does work? So in my own family, we eventually, you know, we had a lot of kids. And so we were in those like formative years and just, you know, keeping them alive and keeping them fed and in bed and diapers changed and all those different things. But very soon you'll find, and we have these conversations with our families here. We have a monthly conversation for toddlers and elementary parents each month, by the way, that you're invited into on Sunday mornings called Thriving Families. But we talk about like 2 years old, you start to see their hearts show. And we need to be led. So how do we do that? Well, for myself and our family, we understand and know and we live this out that we are a Christ-centered home. And this doesn't mean that like we're the most amazing Christians ever and I keep all these things. No, like I understand I'm really like I can't keep all the rules. I get that. Like, but my foundation, the principle for our home and for myself personally is that we are a Christ-centered home. I am a Christ-centered individual. It's just not something that's part of my life, this one block. But for me, Christ is our all. And if you think about these lyrics that and these songs of worship these that we sing on Sunday, they come from writers who are living that out. And that many of them come from Scripture, for we long for God. And so we say we are a Christ-centered home. And so Psalm, I'm going to lead you to this Scripture. Psalm 63, verse 1 says this, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." The psalmist here had discovered the beauty of God, the source of strength. And it might seem strange to you, but a God who is ready to fill us. And the secret that we find in him is him alone and his beauty. And so we have this imagery of earnestly I seek you, I long for you, I thirst for you in a dry and parched land. And how we need this. When things are going great, you know, we say, well, you may not think about that, but we can celebrate that God in those times. But when especially you struggle, when things don't work out, when you're uncertain, in the struggles of life, you need a God that you can go to and not be afraid of, but know that he is there. He is there when you are at your worst. So we don't push away from us, but you invite him in. If you know that you're secure and you know that you're in a relationship with God, then you can invite him in to your most your darkest places and say, God, be with me in this moment. To lean into him is a beauty that really doesn't exist anywhere else. And so we say, God, I seek you out in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Please be my God. Have you ever longed to be with God like that? We need him. For the families here today, let me read this from your family perspective. So it says, "You, God, are our God. Earnestly we seek you." You can put this up, this next slide up. "You, God, are our God. Earnestly we seek you. We thirst for you. Our whole family longs for you." Now, what would that look like? What do we typically long for? Probably in our family, like high scores on a video game or just time on the video games. Maybe it's followers, interaction, lots of likes, hearts. That is my God. Or maybe a car or an apartment, security, stability. I know that my own heart loves to be stable, and I can make that a God, and when I'm not, it wrecks me. And it shows me that I'm putting my trust in things that cannot ever be fully there and trustworthy. And so my heart needs to be trusting in a God, the God who is, the God who is always stable, always secure, that I always can have hope in. But we find many things. We find many things that replace that. And so what is a Christ-centered home is not this perfect home where you're like always doing everything around the church. Like maybe a pastor's home looks like that. I get that, okay? But it's a foundation and a principle that you stand upon, that you say that this, he is our source of strength. He is who we pursue. And then that guides how you engage him. And so then that helps you take the next step, which is helping your family see God as loving, approachable, and involved. And so that's the second point that we can put up here today, that you want to help your family see God as loving, approachable, and involved. If you don't have a family, for yourself, it's important that you help, that you pursue God as this loving God, approachable and involved, who longs to be in relationship with you. And you want to create places to do that. So if you are a Christ-centered home, then you want to find opportunities to engage him. Otherwise, we will develop our own view of God. And that can get interesting. But you'll eventually walk away because it won't add up to what you think God should be. We typically drift to the genie God. I just pray for this and he should give me this. And that's good until something falls through. And then you and I will walk away and we'll be confused and in doubt. And so we want to have a God that we can go to and create opportunities. I was hearing from another pastor who talked about that he asked his grown daughter, you know, what would she say to help lead a family that's like this? And she said, you should create an environment where your kids want to have discussions about God. So it's not something they feel they have to do, but something that they want to do. And parents, you want to foster an environment where you are engaging conversations with God, that it's part of your routines. So they will invite you into that. Maybe they'll say one day, Dad, can you pray with me? But we model that for our kids. And you want to create that. So we bring God into conversations. We pray for the little, and we start young when they're hurt. They have a boo-boo, you know, when they have a challenge with friends, all the challenges we face, we teach them to depend upon God. So I want you to be able to do the same thing. So let me end with this, these three things. The last part of the conversation today is, how do we do this? I want to say there's three ways to create a hunger for God. And I want to encourage you to begin to establish these rhythms in your life. It will be invaluable. Just think about if you started today on Mother's Day 2024 and you begin to establish some of these rhythms and start in a simple way, but how different maybe your life will look like when you come and you celebrate Mother's Day next year. And it'll be here, you know, so fast. It's amazing when you think about your yearly rhythms and how, man, we were just here yesterday. What can you begin to do? Well, the first one is this, is involve God in your daily conversations. Begin to make a place for him. We always, in our junior groups, we talk about this. We talk about our experience plan, how we are experiencing God. What is a rhythm that we can do? Whenever we have these conversations, we encourage one another to start simple, something that's so easily attainable, like 5 minutes Maybe for you, it's reading a scripture a day. You could read, you know, a couple of verses from a psalm or a proverb a day. Like there's all kinds of things that you could start with. Begin your day with prayer. Begin a conversation, daily conversations with God, because God is relational. And so a conversation really is prayer. You say, I don't know how to pray, but you know how to talk with one another. Begin a conversation with God. And if you're a parent, how can you, if you have grown kids, then that's not always as easy. But especially with your younger kids, is God part of your life and is God part of your conversations? You can lead them to Him. You can't make them believe in God, but you can begin to model that for them. So how is God part of your verbal life as well? We can teach one another to hunger and thirst for righteousness. The second one is this, is to make church a priority. Now, I'm always reluctant to use the word church because we've grown up with the word church as a building. But if you've been with DCC for a while, we know we talk about it as the word in Scripture is actually a gathering. The words that Christ used, it's His people. And so you're making a local church family your priority. You were made to be in community. It's why we're here. We're 9 years old as a church here in this city. We started in 2015, and we love you, and we want to, you know, one of our goals is to help create a place for you to be in community with one another because you are made for this. And so for the families here today, it's easy to get caught up in your life and weekend plans. Now, this doesn't say you go to church every single week of the year and, like, there's somebody keeping a roll, like, did you come? You should have about 50 opportunities this year, 50, 51, usually around 50. Like, we don't even have church every single Sunday. In fact, we're taking Memorial Day weekend off. And 2 weeks from now, we'll be having church online only. It's not just about this. It's about being part of this church family. And so you need to make it a priority that you're here whenever possible, especially with your children. And we engage you. We're here, in especially in elementary and toddler age. We purposefully engage your children. We're not just babysitting right now for those who have kids in their rooms. We are purposefully engaging them in conversations and teaching them about the principles of God that He's made them for. We're ready to partner with you, to engage with you, because we care about who you are becoming. And this is true for our whole church family. When you make it a priority, you will experience being filled with God. Many in our church, you will come here on Sunday, but it's important that you eventually take a step towards God and take a step towards community. A great place to start with and continue is we have a monthly serving event where you can get to know one another. We do that a place called the Sharing Place. It's happening this Thursday. And so we'll be serving at a local food pantry. And what we do is we actually prepare bags for their weekend distribution. So it's just our team on Thursdays, and so it's a great opportunity to serve and to get to know one another in your church family. That's happening Thursday at 7 p.m. That's a place for you to take a step. Some of you have been part of the Sharing Place. Join us on Thursday. We bag hundreds of bags, and it's a blessing to that organization that helps them be ready on Saturday. They serve hundreds of needy families in our community. And so there's opportunities. In 4 weeks, we're going to be engaging in Go Jersey City. And it's on Saturday, June 8th. That's an opportunity for you to be part of a church family. But then you can serve on a Sunday. Today we have a team that has gathered together so that all this can be set up. And the screen, the sound, the lights, and our kids team, our hospitality, we are calling it a party team now because they're just setting a stage out there to have fun on Mother's Day. And they're loving you as Christ has loved them. Is this a priority for your life? If we hunger and thirst for righteousness, how can you be part of community and a family? We hope that you'll take steps there. But for parents especially, I want to challenge you. Is this a priority for you? You, even if your kids are young, you would not believe how limited your time is. It starts to go very fast. And I want you to invest now. You can't do this alone. Invest now. Make that a priority. And the third one is this. Show how seeking and serving God and your family is fun. How it can be fun. Like, it's amazing. Like, for our children, they've been part of our, you know, growing up with a pastor, like, they're always around church. But I can tell you, and they'll testify to this. You can ask them. It's been fun. Like, and especially this church, I talked about how we began in 2015. And this is like our fourth like major space that we've been involved in because we rent spaces on Sundays. We've been in some really interesting places. And when we get there early or come in random times, they get run of the places. And so they've had lots of adventures in storage units and in schools and in nightclubs. I'm not kidding. And, you know, our church has met in two different nightclubs. We have a really fun history. And they have lots of stories. Our serving team has lots of stories. It can be a lot of fun and adventurous. But they serve. They engage, and it forms their hearts. And they're inviting their friends into these opportunities. Last couple years, they've been inviting their friends to be part of Go Jersey City. And they all have a lot of fun together. Seeking God and serving God is fun. It actually will bring you together as a family. You can do this at home. It doesn't mean that you have to have a Bible study every single week. I think that, like, how you engage that and how your home responds is important. We don't do that as a family, but that might work really well for you. But we do other things. We do model it. Our kids are part of community with kids their age, and they have fun doing that. There are opportunities to see God and have fun with Him. We also model this for our children at home. We try to, I don't always do this well, but seek God in our personal lives. Whenever we've had steps as a family, as they've gotten older, we've brought them into seeking God out and praying together for apartment changes and life changes. We want to learn that we can depend upon God because one day they're going to need to depend upon Him themselves. They need to know the one who is good, that cares about their hearts. And you personally need to know this incredible God, that we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Have you experienced a God like that? Psalm 63:1. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. In all things and all places, we can always have this great hope in God who longs for you to be filled. That's the relationship you were invited into. So as we think about our homes today, how can you sow this next year into the joy of righteousness? Take steps towards Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. God, I know that Mother's Day isn't always fully joyful for us. Because sometimes it can remind her of the mom who's passed away or the longings that we have that we don't get to experience. But it also reminds us of our home. And it's full of beautiful and mixed emotions. And I pray today that as we think about that you are the God of all of that. And you long to be with us. And I pray that as we live our lives, we would know the true beauty of who you are, that only you can really fill us, and that we would hunger and seek after your righteousness in all things, in the joys and the beauty and the challenges. And I pray for our homes today, our families, in a world that it's increasingly harder to raise children in an uncertain world and culture. I pray that we would lean on you and your righteousness and the hope that we have in you for our strength and for our joy. And I pray for those who are not in families, that we would all discover the beauty of this. We thank you, we love you, and I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.